Tonight, we're going to be looking from the book of Genesis, chapter 6, and we're going to be examining, in the weeks that are ahead, we're going to be examining those that I would call heroes of faith, men of the Old Testament, and the idea as we start this study on Sunday evenings, we're just going to pull out a person of the Old Testament, a person of renown, and take a look at his life. Now, we're not going to cover the whole life of everybody, okay? And like Noah, who we're talking about tonight, we're not going to cover his whole life, all right? It's just too much there. But the idea is to introduce you and to remind you of the life of Noah. And one thing that has bothered me is that we're coming at a time in history that, you know, people don't know the Old Testament, the people of the Old Testament. There are people who don't know who Noah was. And I want our children to know who the heroes of the faith are. Okay? I want them to be educated in the Bible so that when somebody asks them who Noah was, they can just stand up and tell him. So tonight we're going to look, Genesis chapter 6, we're going to begin. Would you stand with me as we read from God's Word? And we're going to read parts. We're going to separate the reading to prevent it from being so long, but we're going to start in chapter 6 and verse 5. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of men was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his spirit, or grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God, and Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And the earth was also corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and outside with pitch. Now skip down with me, if you would, to verse 19. And of every living thing of all the flesh, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female. Of the birds after their kind, of animals after their kind, and of every creeping thing on the earth after its kind, two of every kind will come to you to keep them alive. And you shall take for yourself of all food that is eaten, and you shall gather it to yourself, and it shall be food for you and for them. Thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him, so he did. Then continuing in chapter 7, then the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark, you and all your household, because I've seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. You shall take with you seven, each of every clean animal, a male and his female, two each of the animals that are unclean, a male and his female. Also seven each of birds of the air, male and female, to keep the species alive on the face of all the earth. For after seven more days, I will cause it to rain on the earth, 40 days and 40 nights. And I will destroy from the face of the earth all living things that I have made. And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Brother Greg, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Father, we just thank you for another opportunity to be here and to study your word. Father, we just pray that you will be with Brother Doug as he speaks to us. Father, give him the boldness to preach the message that you would have each of us hear. And may we indeed be reminded, Father, of those in the faith who have gone before us. Follow the example, Father, they set for us. We just pray that you'll just help us set aside the distractions of the day and just concentrate on the message at hand. Bless the reading of this word. Of course, in the name of Christ, we do ask. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Now, I want you to first of all realize how vital Noah was. Were it not for Noah, mankind would not be mankind. Out of all the world, Noah was the one man whom God said was perfect or complete. He was a righteous man. He walked with God, and it was Noah that God chose to save mankind through. Okay? And what I want to focus on tonight is judgment that's coming. Now, we start out in this story, and God begins with Noah. He says, one day, judgment's coming. One of these days, Noah, I'm going to destroy the earth. And the reason I'm going to destroy the earth is because of the wickedness that is abounding or taking over in the earth. You know, in verse 5, it says that he saw the wickedness of man, or the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now, I want you to imagine, we think the world today is bad, don't we? I mean, we look at the sin and the lifestyles, and we think, my goodness, how much worse can it get? Well, in Noah's day, it had gotten as absolutely as bad as it could possibly get. There was no hope for mankind at this point. They had gone beyond that point of repentance. Everything in them was evil, and it was so much so that there was not room for anything else. Man had reached a point where they were absolutely useless to God. Can you reach that point? Think about it. Can you reach that point where God just says, okay, you're getting what you want? I believe you can. Well, I'm convinced that you can. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3, God said, my spirit will not always strive with man. Okay? And a life that is consumed by rejection, a life filled with sin, sears the heart of a man where he becomes unable to be reached with the message of God. Okay? Now, before we go any farther, let me clarify there. I have heard people say, well, I would like to be saved, but I just can't. I've done too many bad things. Let me tell you, if you would like to be saved, you can be saved. All right? The people that we're talking about here are people that have no desire for God, have no desire of salvation, have no desire to have any involvement of God in their life whatsoever. And I have known people that way. I've known a man when I was in Corinth, Mississippi, who was just a rascal. We'll just leave it at that, okay? He was a rascal in that he had no time for church or God or religion. And then the news came one day when he was dying of cancer. And I went to see him, and he looked me in the eye, and I asked him, have you thought about where you're going to spend eternity? And he looked me straight in the face without remorse, without anything else, and said, preacher, I didn't have time for that when I was well. I sure am not going to turn to it now. And there was no remorse within his heart. That's the kind of person I'm talking about. That person who has completely shut out God and rejected God to the point that their heart has been sealed over. But the glorious part of this story is that, yeah, man was evil and wickedness had taken over, but there was one man. That one man was Noah, who found grace in the eyes of the Lord. A man that was perfect. A man that, and when I say perfect, that means complete. He was spiritually whole in the Lord, okay? He was justified. He was a man that walked with God. And at the age of 500 years old, God selected him and instructed him to build an ark. And building this ark, it was going, you know, it wasn't some small task. This was a humongous boat, 450 feet long. That's a football field and a half long. 25 yards wide, or 75 feet wide, and three stories high. This is a 500-year-old man that's going to build this boat. you ever say, I'm too old for the Lord to use, you need to bite your tongue. Okay? And why? Because God's going to send judgment upon the earth. And see, here's the interesting part about God communicating with Noah here. When God said, Noah, I'm going to destroy the earth, he didn't tell him when. Did you ever think about that? Noah, I'm going to judge the earth. And he didn't say a week from now, 2 weeks from now, 2 years from now. He just said, Noah, judgment is coming. And if we read the story and do a little calculating, we know that 100 years after God first told Noah to build the ark, 100 years later, the flood came. But for Noah, it was, and grab this, Noah, one of these days, I'm going to destroy the earth with a flood. And so for 100 years, he's preaching the message of truth with no results. But he keeps building the boat because he didn't know when that day would come. Now, here's our application. Do you have any idea what's going to happen one of these days? One of these days, Jesus Christ is coming back to get his children. Okay? But we lose sight of the one of these days and what we're supposed to be involved in before that time gets there. Okay? We are told we have a great commission. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit. And we call that our great commission. But it's our marching orders. It's what we're supposed to be doing until one of these days come and Jesus comes back. Now my question to you is, are we living like we know one of these days is going to get here? I always found it interesting, those parents that would threaten. They'd say, if you don't quit, I'm going to spank you. 5 minutes later, they'd say, you don't quit, I'm going to spank you. 2 hours later, if you don't straighten up, I'm going to spank you. They never do anything. You ever known parents like that? I want to tell you something. God is not that way. Okay? When God says Jesus Christ is coming again, we don't know the hour, we don't know the day, and all we have is one of these days. But beloved, we can take that to the bank. Jesus Christ is coming. That's what 2 Peter 3:9 is talking about. The Lord's not slack concerning His promises. Some men count slackness, but His long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The only reason that Jesus Christ has not returned yet is because He wants everyone that possibly to be saved, to be saved. One of these days, judgment is coming. So how are we dealing with that fact that Jesus Christ is coming again? Are we faithfully working and preparing for that day? Romans chapter 13 verses 11 and 12 says, knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. And grab this part. For our salvation is nearer than when we believed. Do you realize Jesus' second coming is closer than it's ever been? The night is far spent, Paul said. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. My prayer, and the first lesson I want us to get from the life of Noah and the faithfulness that he spent that 100 years he was preparing the ark, the lesson we need to get is that Jesus Christ is coming back, and it's our job to take everybody to heaven with us that we can possibly take. But are we living like Jesus is coming back? You know, John chapter 14, one of my more favorite scriptures. Jesus talking to his disciples, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He's coming. If you believe God, you've got to believe Jesus. The question is, are we living like that day will come? Because it is most definitely coming. We read a little farther about Noah here. And God goes from one of these days to 7 days. First part of chapter 7. God said, okay, Noah, it's time. Get in the ark. Because in 7 days, 7 days, I'm going to destroy the earth with water. And you know what? God did that very thing. He covered the earth in water. Let me ask you, if you had 7 days, what would you do? Let's just chew on that a minute. If God said, you've got 7 days, and the end will come, what would you do? Who would you go tell? The co-worker? Your family member? Who would you go share that judgment is coming? Jesus Christ is coming again. Who would you share that with? You know what? You might just should get on it this week. Because I believe we're close to the second coming of Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? He's coming in. And what we have to decide is what we're going to do with the time He's given us. You know, we've not been commanded to build a boat, but we have been commanded to be disciples of Christ and spread the word. How are we doing? Judgment's coming. Noah, faithful over 100 years, built the huge boat. Preacher of righteousness, faithfully gathered food. Can you imagine if we were Noah? God said, build a boat. He said, I want you to make it a football field and a half long, 25 yards wide, 3 stories high. The first thing I'd ask God is, God, when are you going to invent power tools? Noah didn't have that. I mean, he had hand tools. That was all he had. But he built the boat. Then when he said, I want you to gather up the animals. I want you to get 7 pair of the clean and 2 pair of the unclean. And I want you to, I want you to fix a place for all those. But you're going to have to gather food for them. You know what I'd have said? I'd have likely said, God, if I'm going to build a boat, that's about enough. Don't you think you could feed them? But Noah was faithful. He was faithful to God's call. And that's what I want to challenge us tonight. Okay? When it came down to 7 days to go, and God said, Noah, it's time. Do you realize Noah didn't say, God, I don't have all the food gathered yet. God, I don't have the cracks in the boat filled with pitch. Lord, I don't have everything done yet. I'm not ready. It's time. So Noah takes his family and gets in the boat and gets ready for the judgment of God. If you knew there were 7 days left, what would you say, Lord, I don't have done yet? That's what you need to do. That's what we need to do this week. There was an old song, country song that I actually liked, and it's called, I forgot who sung it, but the jest or the one of the lines was, I hope that someday you'll get to live like you're dying. And it talks about he was diagnosed with cancer or something, and you know, all the things that he did because he wanted to do before he died. Here's the challenge. What do you want to do before Jesus comes back? And I'm not talking about selfish, okay? I'm not talking about golf a hole in one or climb Mount Everest. I'm not talking about junk like that. I'm talking about something that has eternal significance. What is it that you want to get done before Jesus says, it's time? Then finally, in chapter 7, verse 16, we didn't read this one, but I want to read it to you now. So those that entered, male and female, of all flesh, went in as God had commanded him. Get this line. And the Lord shut him in. God closed the door. Okay? I wonder at what point did they realize they were one day too late? You know, at what point was it when it began to rain? You know, I can imagine their surprise because up to this point, they didn't know what rain was. It had never rained before. I wonder if it dawned on them when water began to fall from the sky. Or maybe it's when the fountains of the deep were opened up and not only was water falling from the sky, but it was rising from the earth. I wonder, was it when they went for higher ground to get away from the water and they climbed to the highest part and the water kept rising? 22 and a half feet, I believe it was, above the highest point in the earth, if memory serves me correct. I wonder if right before they drew their last breath, if it dawned on them, they blew it. Judgment came, and they were not ready. For 150 days, water covered the earth. Every living creature that breathed died. I wonder at what point they realized it was too late. I look at the life of Noah and I see his faithfulness through all that 100 years and his dedication to what God had called him to. And I consider myself and I think, wow, you know, I'm supposed to be getting ready for the second coming of Jesus Christ. How am I doing? See, one of these days, he's coming back. One of these days, we're going to be at that point where there's just a day or two left, and we don't know when that is. This might be the last day. But I want to tell you what, one of these days, we're going to be to that point where Jesus Christ steps out on a cloud, and there will be a shout, and the trumpet will sound, the voice of the archangel, and God's children will hear the words, "Come up hither," as in Revelation chapter 4, John heard. Heaven will open up and, beloved, we will be gone. Are you ready? Now, you see, at that time, and I believe that occurs at the beginning of the tribulation period, but there's going to be 7 years of judgment poured out upon the earth. And we're not going to have that. We're not going to have that. You've got 7 days left. We're just going to leave. What do we as God's children need to get done? We need to do it. Let me ask you something, lost person. You've been putting off and putting off. And I know I need to do it. You know, I know I need to be saved. But one of these days, the door is going to be closed. It's going to be too late. You could walk out of here tonight and have a tragic accident and face judgment. Don't put it off, lost person. It's too important. Eternity is too important for you to put off any longer. those of us who are saved, those things that we were going to do, those things that we have planned to do, we better get them done. Because judgment's coming. Judgment's coming. Those people we want to reach, we better tell them about Jesus. Because this may be the final days that we have opportunity. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, I want to invite you to come during this invitation. Come forward and give your life to Jesus. If you're here tonight and you've been putting off things, maybe it's time to for a rededication. If you're here tonight and you just need to pray about the strength and the courage to do what God has called you to do, this altar's open to you. Whatever spiritual needs you have. Look at a man like Noah and look at his faithfulness. And look at how he responded to the call of God. And you respond with the same faithfulness tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for these men of the Old Testament who were examples. And Lord, we thank you that we can look back at these examples and learn from their lives. Lord, we know that one day judgment is indeed coming. Help us not to waste the time, for it is indeed high time for us to live like judgment's coming. And Lord, we pray now in this invitation that your will be done and we'd be responsive to your conviction and your leading. In Jesus' name, amen.